There was no way out of a federal indictment. You can't get out. Maybe President Trump will be the only one to get out, but they're trying real hard to make even him go to prison. When I was sentenced, you know, in 2014, our ministry was one of the fastest growing ministries in the United States. We had 10,000 people watching live every single week. We were at the height of our ministry. We were 90 days from going on 270 million into 270 million homes in Christian television. And then I get indicted by the federal government for something that was already taken care of on the state side. I didn't understand what was going on. They were accusing me of all kinds of things that I never did. And all of these unbelievable crazy things were happening. My world was being turned upside down and I didn't understand it. And I was one of those naive people that believed that justice will be served. And I'm forgetting that we live in a world that's not justice. God is the one that is just. And this is where I learned that I had to submit to the hand of God, that God uses governments of the world to get his people where they need to be. And I'll have to humble myself before you. Like, being at the top of my game was from my perspective. But from God's perspective, he's like, no, you're nowhere near where I need you to be. I need to crush your pride. I need to change some organization of how you're moving in the direction of a mega church. That's not what I want for you. There's things that you need to learn. You're a little bit too big for your britches. You need to learn to trust me. You need to learn to follow me. The prophetic is not built inside of you yet. And you need to learn to live in a 10-by-10 cell out of a locker with people that you don't like, that hate you, that will come up to you in the lunch line and hit you in the face, even though they've never talked to you before, because you look like a pastor that molested them when they were a child. You need to be beat down so that I could build up your spirit. You need to know, Jim, how I do things in the spiritual world. And you care too much about what people think. And so at the end of the day, like, I was horribly embarrassed. I was humiliated for what happened to me. There was no way out of a federal indictment. You can't get out. Maybe President Trump will be the only one to get out, but they're trying real hard to make even him go to prison. But at the end of the day, I had to submit to what God was doing, because if he allowed it, he allowed it. That means he was in control. And if I really believe my Bible, that a righteous man's steps are ordained by the Lord, then I had to believe that this was ordained and he had a purpose and a reason. And so it would not dawn on me what that reason was until 5 years later, between me and half a dozen other people had over 300 prophetic visions, dreams. My daughter was visited by angels with her eyes open like Narnia. The incredible things that happened that opened my eyes to when the Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, I never experienced that. It was an intellectual verse for me. But when I lived in the spirit realm, I will never see that verse ever the same again. Now I understand you cannot operate by knowledge and in your own understanding. You cannot lean on your intellect and your logic. You must operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You must totally trust him, and you must not look at the world through the eyes of the world. You must look at the world through the eyes of God, and he builds his kingdom differently than we build our kingdom on earth. So when I came out of prison and had nothing, lost everything, we had 20 plus employees when I left. We had zero. I had to start up from scratch with an iPhone. God began to say, now, are you going to trust me? I will do this my way. You work for me, Jim. And until you realize that, the second you realize that, I'll let you glide on the wings of eagles. And that's where we're at today. I'm just following God, different person. And I thought I was a good person then, but I look back and go, I was not so much of a good person. I'm not so sure I'm a good person now, but I serve a great God and I'm grateful to serve him from the depths of a prison, a jungle, literally, to where I'm at today and wherever it is tomorrow. Now I have the opportunity to tell people, hey, look, consider pure joy to face trials. And I've been there. There's not a pain or a suffering that I probably haven't experienced that someone I can relate now. Now I'm proud to be called a pastor, a minister, because I can shepherd being there. I've been there. slandered and gossiped and pushed around and hit. I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like to have your best friends turn on you. I know what it's like to have Christian journalists say terrible things about you. And I had to deal with forgiveness and crush the pride and be the light that God wants me to be when no one else thinks that you're even saved. That is the depth, I believe, what real trial is supposed to do, is bring out the image of God and kill the ego.
Yeah. You know, I just want to ask you to share the story of your relationship, your friendship with the judge, and your daughter's impact with that as well. Could you share that as we're wrapping up?
Yeah, sure. You know, I had a really incredible moment where a month into my prison sentence, my daughter, who was 13 at the time, went behind the back of me and mom, and she wrote the judge without us knowing, and just shared with the judge in the most articulate way that a 13-year-old can do, just how much she loves her daddy, how much she misses him already, but how much she respects the fact that the judge had to do what he had to do, and that she believed that God was going to use all of it. The judge, she didn't know that the judge was a Christian and was so impacted by this letter that he wrote my daughter back and said that he was going to take this letter and put it in a special pile that he's had for 40 years that only has about 20, 25 letters in it from dignitaries, presidents, college deans, and so on. And then I wrote the judge from prison. Now, you don't write judges from prison. That's just not something that you do, especially your own sentencing judge. And I'll be darned, the judge wrote me back, which there's attorneys that were in prison that said they did not believe me, that my judge wrote me back, because judges do not write people back. And it started almost a pen pal relationship over the next 5 years, where I began to share what God's doing in my life. He began to encourage me and write me back. And when I got out of prison, we honestly quickly just connected because of our faith. And I've been out to dinner with him several times, and he's taken my family out to dinner. He is an amazing, wonderful man that has incredible own testimony of himself, most decorated judge in the history of St. Louis. And it is really weird to be friends with the judge that agreed to put you in prison, but it is what it is. We never went to trial. All the facts never came out, and you don't really want to go to trial in a federal case because the law is so technical that they'll put you away for the rest of your life if you make them go to trial. So that's why almost everybody pleads guilty, because there's no way out of a federal indictment. But it is a beautiful thing to watch God hold to his word when he says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. All things. And I have never seen God. I'll just tell you this real quickly. My spiritual number, if there's such a thing, is 222. And it comes from 2 Timothy 2:2. It's my life verse. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So my job is to teach others to teach others. So whenever I see 222, I know that God is with me. It's a big deal. When I got into that prison and they took me and they walked me into the office at the camp, I went to the same camp that Pete Rose went to, ironically. And I walked in there, the CO went over to the whiteboard, erased the number, and wrote the number 222. I was the 222nd inmate into that prison. And day one, God was hinting and winking at me, saying, Jim, I'm with you. This is going to hurt like hell, living hell. But what's going to come from it is going to be just me. People won't see you anymore. They're just going to see me. I didn't see that at the time, but 5 years later, in an extraordinary amount of horrible things that happened to me, the Lord began to move and to blossom. And it ended with a beautiful relationship with the judge that now I can consider a friend.
Wow. You know, Pastor Jim, I definitely got to say that there's some correlations or parallels between you and Joseph, and it's just at the right time that you were taken out of that prison, and you were put in a place of prominence there. And I believe that we're just kind of seeing the beginnings of what that is and what God has for you. And it's an honor to be able to talk with you about this. And I know that we're just kind of scratching the surface, and I hope that we have an opportunity to do more in the future. But thank you so much for joining us here today on Charisma.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate you having me on. It is definitely the honor's mine to be able to lock arms with believers, knowing that the end is coming slowly but surely. And it's time that we begin to go back and do Bible things in Bible ways and have each other's backs.